And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for joining us here on the program. We are streaming live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We're rebroadcast on a2zen.fm. Check their listings. I've been told that one of the broadcast times is Mondays at 8 p.m. Pacific time. Certainly go to the website, a2zen.fm, and they will be able to give you all the information on the broadcast times for this program and subsequent programs as well. We also archive this program at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. So please check it out. Check out our guests. Check out the website. Check out all of the information that is there, and we would love to have you a part of this program. If you'd like to participate, you'd like to support this broadcast, there is a page on the website. It's the missions page. At the bottom, there's a place for you to provide some support if you'd like via PayPal. I find that a very secure way of doing things. Matter of fact, sometimes, even though I do have the old debit card or credit card and I can punch that into a particular account and say, yeah, go ahead, just do this. For some reason, I prefer going through PayPal because at least there's a second tier there that acts sort of as a filter and keeps track of all that good stuff. So for me, it's an extra level of security, and I hope for you as well. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices. Choices. Ah, yes, today's topic. Choices. Do you really have choice in your life? So that implies that we're also going to talk about destiny or predestination. And we're going to talk about that with our guest, and I'm real excited about having her on the program today. Her name is Marie Jones, and she is a best-selling author, screenwriter, researcher, public speaker. She's written a number of books. Boy, it would take us a couple of months to talk about all of the stuff that she has written about. 2013, End of Days, or A New Beginning. Envisioning the World After the Events of 2012. Science, now that's spelled P-S-I, Science. How New Discoveries in Quantum Physics and A New Science May Explain the Existence of Paranormal Phenomenon. Another book is Looking for God in All the Wrong Places, a little play on themes. And our conversation today will primarily deal with a book called Destiny versus Choice, the Scientific and Spiritual Evidence Behind Fate and Free Will. Now, Marie, first of all, thank you so much for joining us on the program. This is, I think, going to be a great hour, and thanks for being a part of this.
Well, thank you for having me on.
This is a subject that we kind of talk about quite often on this program, because we here on this program are here to provide those new ways of living, new paradigms for a new world. And as I said before, giving people choices and knowledge of those choices to help make their dreams come true. And yet there are those, and I am among those from time to time, who wonder if, you know, this is just my lot in life. This is the script that's been written for me. You, as a screen player, screenplay writer, you know all about putting the characters into particular scenarios, giving them the words to say, the actions to carry out, etc. And there are many people who really strongly believe that. And the reason I shift back and forth is because every once in a while I get this nudging from inside saying, your life has meaning, which then implies that if this were predestined, if there were a script, there's no meaning. There's no relevance to existence, and there's something inside of me that says there is.
You're just a robot.
Yeah, exactly.
Going through the motions, basically.
So let's talk a little bit about destiny, what that means. Let's talk about choice and what that means. Even if we were to pull destiny out of the picture, there are, again, people who feel that their choices are limited because of the powers that be. They blame the powers that be. They're victims of a greater power than themselves, and we're not talking necessarily of the infinite. We're other human beings,
and
so forth.
Politicians,
let's start there. What is destiny?
Well, to me, destiny is the sense that your life has a trajectory that feels right and that brings out the best of your gifts and your skills and the talents that you were born with, to the point where you feel like, my life has purpose and I am living my purpose. And now that is sort of a broad explanation. I know other people will say that destiny means everything is set in stone, but that's not true. That is fate. Fate is different from destiny.
Oh.
Fate is the belief that everything has been set in stone by forces beyond our control, and you're just a puppet. You know, it comes from mythology and the idea that the gods and goddesses set your life path down, and you just follow along, and if you deviate from that life path, you're going to be punished. And but that's different from destiny. Destiny is a little more about having a choice, believe it or not, as to whether or not you want to live the life that you were put here to live. And everybody has gifts and talents and things that they feel really good when they're doing, things that give, that, you know, expand them. And I think that's where your destiny lies, in finding out what those gifts are and expressing them,
but
giving them to the world.
Right. Destiny, however, is reinforced. It is embedded almost to the level of a molecular level, or even to the DNA level of our being, by our institutions, and first and foremost would be our religious institutions. Because when I heard that God, as defined by the religious institution that I grew up in, was mm-hmm. omnipotent, omnipresent,
right.
and omniscient, knew
right.
everything. He knows the past, he knows the present, and he also knows the future. As a 7-year-old sitting in Mass one day, I almost drove myself crazy. Because I'm sitting there saying, I blinked my eyes. Oh, God knew I was going to do that. And
exactly.
God knew I was going to think that. And on and on and on.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here going, so there is, I can't do anything original and unique because God already knows.
Well, that's a wonderful way to control the masses. Scare the crap out of them by making them believe, excuse my French.
It's all right.
By making them believe that every move they make, every thought is being examined and judged. And I think that that is the problem with organized religion and religious institutions, is that they want to take the feeling of choice away from you. But they also want to suppress your own natural sense of destiny. I'll give you a really good example. My mom, when she was young, she was a wonderful artist. And she wanted, when she got out of high school, she wanted to go to art school in France or Italy, somewhere where they had, you know, these wonderful schools for artists. And my grandfather, God bless his soul, being a very diehard Catholic Italian, told her no. That she would be considered a whore. Literally, the word whore is what he used, what he told her,
mm-hmm.
if she were to go to France or Paris and pursue art. Women did not do that. They had kids. They didn't have careers, etc. And my mom never pursued her art. Her destiny may have been to still be a great mom and have a family, but because of that religious, you know, suppression of this desire that she had to just express herself as an artist, she didn't pursue it. She did later on in other ways, I'll say that. But it's a great story that when she told me, and I really took it to heart, because society will do that to us, religious institutions, politicians, the media, even our own friends and family sometimes will
mm-hmm.
serve to suppress the destiny or the calling that we might feel within.
You know, there's another element too. Those of us who are sort of the free thinkers, who are trying to think outside the box, who are trying to find those new ways of living, and we've accepted this new belief system of the infinite and that there are all of these different choices, and yet we're also told, oh yeah, by the way, before you come into this world, you sign a contract to have these given experiences.
Right.
And it's like, oh, okay, wait a minute, hold on, back it up just a minute here. We just got through demystifying the institutional religious systems, and now you're trying to do it all over again by telling me that I signed a contract. But then it's, but see, you can change that along the way. Well, then what's the point of the contract?
Exactly. And that when I was writing the book, it was so frustrating because I myself, ever since I was a little girl, always had a sense of destiny. I always knew I was going to be a writer. I'd been writing since I was very young. And I just always had that sense. But at the same time, I never saw any kind of contradiction with the fact that I had a lot of choices as to whether or not I wanted to pursue that. And I think the thing is that we sort of waver from believing, like, the law of attraction.
And I love
the law of attraction teachings. I do believe that they work to an extent, but they tell you that, you know, you're pretty much making it up as you go along based upon the thought, your thoughts and your focus, which leaves no room for a potential destiny. And then on the other side, you've got, you know, the people that believe strongly in your entire life has been set down before you even came out of the womb, and you're following that trajectory whether you want to or not. To me, the truth probably lays somewhere in the middle where there's a bit of both at play. And I found that throughout the research for the book, whether I was looking at science and, you know, quantum physics, which does tell us that the observer has so much influence over the outcome of a particle's behavior, and DNA, you know, we human beings like to think that we're all unique, but we sort of come pre-programmed, almost predestined, with a certain physicality based on our DNA, and yet the choice comes in when it comes to what we do with our lives. I just kept finding this sort of middle of the road or sitting on the middle of the fence where you could see both destiny and choice at work all around. But it is really strange how there are people that will latch on to one of those.
Yeah, and just go headlong.
You know, and I found this too. Sometimes people do latch on to one of them until something happens in their life that makes them question it. Something tragic or maybe something really wonderful, and suddenly they're questioning, oh, I always believed in fate and that my life was set in stone, but here I made this choice, and look at this, my whole new avenue opened up to me. So a lot of times I think it's just ignorance of the opportunity that's out there to see the world in a different way.
I always find it frustrating when I'm watching any history program. I just last night was watching one, and the phrase comes up at a particular event that they're telling the story of, and this changed the course of history. And I'm going, wait a minute, did you know what direction history's course was taking and you can see both timelines?
Right,
how do
exactly.
you know this?
Yeah, well, I like that. I never thought of that before.
Yeah, hindsight is always 20/20. Come on.
Yeah.
And by the way, speaking of, I've often said this, both on this program but to other people throughout my life, and only because of my experiences, I feel as though I have always been in the right place at the right time. Now, I'm going to tie this into one of your other books called The Deja Vu Enigma, A Journey Through the Anomalies of Mind, Memory, and Time. Whenever I would have a deja vu moment, which most people know is, I've been here before, even though physically in this lifetime you've never been there and you've never seen these specific scenes and so on and so forth. It's like a slide was shown to you subconsciously, and then all of a sudden when that slide matches the exterior world, boom, you go this way. Instead of freaking out going, oh my gosh, what's happening to me? And I actually had a day, an entire day that kept having those deja vu moments.
Oh, wow. I wish I could have interviewed you for that book.
Well, I interpret those as nothing more than the universe telling me, you're on the right path. Just keep going. And it was usually at a time maybe when I was doubting whether I was going in the right direction or whatever kinds of doubts.
Little signposts on the way.
Exactly.
Saying, okay, you're on the right trail.
Not the Twilight Zone, folks, but
good
signposts.
Like
but see, this is rather interesting in terms of you've already kind of delved into some of these other areas. The choices that we have made in the past have placed us where we are at this very moment. For you listening, for you, Marie, for me, all of the choices collectively. Okay, not specific ones, but collective. It has to be collective because you take one of those choices out and you're somewhere else.
Right. It changes the whole scenario.
And this goes back to your discussion about the law of attraction and making choices and creating our own reality. There's another phrase, creating your own reality. How can you create your own reality if you've signed a contract to have these given experiences?
So contradictory. No wonder people are confused. It's like, well, which one is it? I think I love the law of attraction, and I read about it. I've used it to great benefit. But people need to realize that even though we have an incredible amount of choice as to what we can do and be and experience, there still is a predetermined foundation that we have yet to learn how to change. And in terms of, like, say, the law of attraction, I can use that law all I want to become a more successful writer, and chances are that'll happen. Mm-hmm. But I can never use that law to change myself into a horse. It's just not going to happen.
Right, right. You know,
and yet somebody will say to me, well, you just haven't figured out how to use it that well then.
Yeah.
But to me, I think that there is, predetermination is a little bit different from destiny, but I think most people will get the point that there are things in this world that are predetermined. We're born, we live, we die, that's something that we can't seem to escape. Within that, we have a lot of choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are prophecies in many of the great ancient wisdom teachings.
Right.
You can look to Nostradamus. You can look to, if you want, to look to intuitives or psychics. You can look to either Eastern or Western astrology. You can look to whatever modality that you want that is telling us about what the future holds. And it is made to sound as if it is locked in, that this is where people were going. I remember as we got closer to 2012 and December 21st, and I just kept telling people, and I tried to keep it light, but I kept telling people in this program that I says, would you go back 12 years to Y2K, to January 31st, and tell me what happened? And it's quite obviously nothing happened. And that's what's going to happen on a physical level with this business with 2012. Now, my wife had one of the greatest and funniest analogies of the Mayan calendar that I've passed on to people. And that is this, that the guy that was chiseling the Mayan calendar, he got to a point where he said, I'm fed up. I'm tired of this. I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm done. This is all you get.
Out.
This is all you get. Okay? And so basically the calendar just ends because he's finished. He doesn't want to do it anymore.
He just said, you know what? Cycle it back to the beginning. I am not going to keep doing this.
Exactly.
I need a vacation.
Exactly.
I'm going on strike.
But it's real interesting because we still have these significant dates that began to roll around prior to 2012. Where you had these patterns. Now, I don't know about you, and I've shared this, and I know there's a name for it. I can't recall what it is, but I see numbers and letters in colors, which then gives days of the week, weeks of the months of the year, years, centuries, etc., gives them a specific, a very different hue, each one.
Right.
Now, we had back in January of 2001, we had 111.
Right.
January 1st, 2001, and then February 2nd, 2002, blah blah blah, up to November 11th of 2011, and that kind of came to an end with 2012, 12, 12, 12, and now we're not going to have that again for another 90 years or whatever, and yet, when I look at a clock, many times if I just glance over at it, I will see the multiples of a number. I see that
right.
pattern.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
Now, that kind of ties into another book of yours called 1111, the time prompt phenomenon, the meaning behind mysterious signs, sequences, and synchronicities. Now, I do not believe in coincidence. I repronounce that word as coincidence.
Absolutely. Right. It's seeing effects of something that you don't see the cause of.
Right. There are television programs that came out that would try to share that concept by showing a big picture series of events that were totally unrelated to one another, but every so often their paths would intersect and then diverge. And by the end of the program, you saw a particular event happen, but none of the participants were aware of their role in that final event.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was one of the greatest concepts that they had come up with for a television program for that concept. So now I bring that back into our world, our reality, if you will. We don't know what role we play in others' lives in terms of their future.
Exactly.
In terms of even their choices, which is what this program is about. We provide a smorgasbord.
Mm-hmm.
And you come and take what you need and you leave the rest.
Right, right.
What is your perspective on all of that in terms of especially the book on destiny versus choice and especially a phrase I have heard many, many times that you can't change other people, and I found that that's a lie. You actually can.
I disagree. I think so, too. I think that you'll hear people say things like, you know, I really wasn't going to listen to Richard's show today, but I just decided to tune in before I went to work, and I heard something on there that completely changed my perspective. And you'll hear people say that about reading a book or seeing a movie or just happening to have a conversation with a stranger at Starbucks. And what that shows us is that, you know, obviously you have the choice to be anywhere you want. But if you pay attention, you begin to see that hidden web of connectivity that we're all enmeshed in. And to me, coincidences and synchronicities are nothing more than seeing the effects of interactions in that hidden, invisible order. We don't see the cause because it's happening on another level of reality mm-hmm. that's invisible to us. But if we pay attention, the effects are all around us. And I believe that the more you are aware of and expecting coincidences and synchronicities, the more you're going to have, because we are, and quantum physics teaches us that particles that have come into contact with each other remain entangled, even over vast distances of space and time, and they continue to influence each other's behavior. Well, we're made of particles. You know, who's to say that we are not entangled for the rest of our lives after coming into contact with someone? So I think the more people pay attention to what's going on in their present moment awareness, the more they start to see those little synchronicities and those little signs from the universe, as you were talking about before. Does that mean that the person has a very specific destiny? It certainly could. If they feel a pull or a calling that those signs are leading them towards, that could be their destiny. Do they have choices as to whether they want to ignore that? Absolutely, you know, and I think most people do, which is why you find so many miserable, unhappy people out there, because they're not following that pull. They're not paying attention to those synchronicities, and they're certainly walking straight on past any sign the universe has to offer them until it gets to the 2x4 over the head level.
Yeah.
Which I've experienced myself.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I just really see that in every opportunity, there are clues to a destiny that you may have, and every opportunity to make choices regarding whether or not you're going to fulfill it. And some people will say, well, I don't have a great destiny to be like a singer or an actor. And that's not everybody's destiny. Your destiny could just be to be a great parent, mm-hmm. and influence your children to the point that they become great parents. And your destiny could be to make wonderful pieces of furniture for your neighbors as a little side job. I mean, you know, destiny can mean anything to any individual. It's so personal. But yep. Having talked to so many people, and I'm sure you can attest to this, you hear people say all the time, I just don't feel like my life has any purpose. I just don't feel like I'm doing what I was put here to do. I'm just not expressing my gifts and talents. And they're miserable, and they're unhappy, and they're depressed, and they're not feeling well, and they're sick. And that, to me, is the wake-up call that these people need to check in. What is it I feel like I was put here to do? What do I do really well? Whether it's communicate with others, lead, creativity, whatever, and do it.
Mm. Well, I do. I hear that more often than I would care to. It's a little disheartening for me because I don't know what to tell them in the sense that in terms of trying to help them, to guide them and so forth, because that's how they're feeling. And right, a lot of times right. I feel as though, you know, we need to touch into those feelings as well, but we don't want to get stuck. We're going to continue this conversation. Marie Jones is my guest, and Marie D. Jones is the website, mariedjones.com, where you can find out more about what we're talking about in terms of destiny versus choice here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you so much for joining us, and we will continue right after this.
Tell me your story.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're going to continue our conversation here with Marie Jones, and the book in particular that we're focusing on is Destiny versus Choice. You brought up fate as well, Marie, and certainly that is, you say that's a little different than destiny. Fate I know that it's like kind of like when I watch some of these television programs of days gone by, whether it be 50 years or 500 years, like especially like the medieval days, you know, and I have to wonder, well, was that just their lot in life? And that was the only thing that they could do? Or could they have become royalty? Could they have become, these people? I saw the documentary on Henry Ford. A little disappointing near the end of the documentary about his life. But yet he... And he ended up fighting against the very thing that he ended up sort of contributing to via the invention of the automobile. And that was
right.
The modern civilization. And I found that dichotomy that he had to deal with rather interesting. It almost seemed as though he didn't realize his role in that which he despised so much. But not all of us are going to be Henry Fords or great presidents or leaders per se. But you made an interesting comment in terms of one's purpose in life. It may not be to be anything like that. It may be to be one of the supporting cast I know someone who worked in a cardiology department at Mayo Clinic, for example, who dealt with had presidents come in for their exams and their tests and their this and their that and the other. In some instances, they would just meet individuals, just regular residents, who weren't feeling so great. And by the time they left, they were feeling a lot better. And not because of any medicine or test, but because of what this person said to them or just listened. And who knows, this person's off to a meeting that now may go totally different than what it could have gone if they hadn't been allowed to vent or hadn't heard the words that were said. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting balancing act there.
It is. And I totally agree with you, because here's the thing. Like, what you're saying is, if you're born, say you're born into just abject poverty, and there's no opportunities around for you to ever rise out of that, is that your fate? Is that it? I don't believe that, because I know people who have been born into abject poverty and who rose out of it and became very successful. I worked for two of them. I worked at Warner Brothers Records for a long time. And two of the bosses I was so blessed to have were men who came from very, very poor circumstances and worked their booties off to get to the point that they were at, very successful men in their careers. But at the same time, what about a little baby that's born, say, into a town in Africa where there is rampant disease and there's violence and there's just not even that opportunity to rise out of that? I don't know if that's their destiny, their fate, their purpose. It may play a role in a bigger picture that none of us really have the ability to quite see. But for many of us, I think we use those circumstances as an excuse to not look for the opportunities. It's a tough one, though, because there are people out there that no matter what they do, it seems like they can't get beyond a certain point. There just isn't the ability to do so. Mm-hmm. It's very tough, and I don't pretend to know the answers.
Oh, but that's why we have you on the program.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, really. Darn it, you were hoping I had the answer, weren't you?
Yes.
But all I can tell you is I think we sell ourselves short. And at the same time, I do think that we live in a reality that does have some grand mystery to it that we can sense, and where we are all little puzzle pieces. Mm-hmm. Playing our role in that bigger picture, and maybe we just don't have the ability to see the big picture, which makes us feel very limited, very inhibited, as if we don't have any opportunity or choice. That's a tough one, because I can say where I am, and I'm very blessed that I have lots of choices, but I've also worked my brains out for the opportunities that I believe have helped me move along my trajectory, my destiny.
But I'm going
I'm
going to guess that many of the latter choices that you made, you were not even aware of at the beginning of the process.
It
was only as you moved forward. And again, it goes back to what I said about the program. You know, we don't have all the answers. But I do know that there are some choices that we don't even know about today that may come along tomorrow.
Absolutely. Oh, and if you're in a really bad place in life,
yeah,
you know, it's always good to remember this too shall pass, because 6 months ago you may not have been. Mm-hmm. And we're so focused on what it is we're feeling and immersed in at the time that we forget that we're constantly given the opportunity to make choices to take us from a point we may not like being in right now. It's going to change down the road, and it may open up doors we never knew were there. But for me personally, I always feel like the best choices, the ones that make me feel good and empowered, are the ones that are aligned with this destiny, this purpose that I feel within me. And I've always told friends and people that I talk to when I do events that, you know, go by your feelings and your emotions. It's a really good signpost of whether or not you're on a good path in life. And maybe your destiny changes according to the choices you make. But if you're feeling bad, obviously that's not a good destiny and you're not making good choices. So change it. And I've always felt like in the past, and I can look back now, and I think, like you said, a lot of times you see the truth and you learn by looking back. And I can see choices that I made that were not good for me, for my health, for my career, for my dreams, and how much misery they caused me.
Mm.
So that now, when I am presented with opportunities and choices, I really look closely and I try to feel my way into them. Is this going to make me feel good? Is this going to make me feel empowered? Is this going to make me feel like I'm using my time to the best of my ability, and then moving in that direction? It kind of, you go with your gut a little bit, but also really checking in with your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of opportunity out there to make bad choices.
Oh, absolutely. And then there's the rub. Another one of those paradoxes, if you will, or dichotomies. That you are where you are because of all of the choices that you have made up to this moment. And there may have been some choices that you might sit there and go, and you say you regret. I wish I hadn't made that choice.
Right.
But the reality is, you're where you are because of that and
yeah.
all of the other choices. So now, when you become a, they say that the first step to changing your life is becoming aware
yeah.
of. So now that you know this, choose even more carefully.
Choose wisely, absolutely. And you've learned from your past. You've learned, you know, we were talking earlier about the difference between fate and destiny. Fate, you have no choice. You're a robot. You're, you know, somebody's using a remote control and you're unhappy and you're miserable and you feel powerless. Destiny, well, now I don't think will ever make you feel powerless. It will make you feel powerful because you are making the choices that make sense and give you that sense of forward movement on a path where life is always expanding instead of contracting. I think that's a really good way to describe the difference between the two. And, you know, a lot of people that I know, and we kind of touched on this earlier, but I want to make sure I get it in because we were talking about, you know, things like prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people go to astrologers and tarot readers and palm readers and, you know, whatever, that divination systems to have their future told. So for the book, and I really wanted to know, okay, what do these people think? Because are they literally telling us that our destiny is written in the stars or in a deck of cards? Is it that fixed that something like that can tell us our future and we have no choice? And I have to tell you that every single tarot reader, astrologer, palm reader, tea leaf reader that I talked to said the same thing. What if they're doing a really good reading and they're not, you know, complete frauds, if they're really doing a good reading for someone, mm-hmm. what they're giving that person is a blueprint or a template that says, you know, if you continue to go on the trajectory you're on and make the choices you've been making, it may end up here. But you have the opportunity to make different choices within that template. And I struggled with that for a long time because I thought, well, okay, if you read where the planets were when I was born, they're supposed to tell you things about me. I'm a Libra. Okay, well, we can't make decisions. I have a really hard time making decisions. But Libras also love fine art. I really could care less about fine art, you know?
Right.
So, you know, there are these templates that people have come up with that are supposed to help guide you, but you can take what works for you and leave what doesn't. I was really surprised by how many of these readers said that. And I had a couple of people do my astrological chart, and it was really cool. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple do, you know, the palm and everything, and it was really surprising how they managed to merge the two. The fact that you do seem to have a purpose, but, you know, you've got to be careful what choices you make if you want to get there.
Let's talk about intuition, the still small voice. Now, we're doing a series this year, 2014, on mythology. And one of the programs a month or so ago dealt with something that I've raised in other programs in terms of a type of civilization that is depicted in a science fiction series. And you may be familiar with both the series as well as the character. And I say character not in the singular sense, but more in the overall sense, because it's made up of individuals. The character in this case is called the Borg. Now, the way it's set up, it's a collective. And they get their information early on. We don't know where from. We don't know where they came from. We don't know how they began. But their purpose is to assimilate other civilizations and technologies. That is their purpose. Now, how they got that, I don't know. But my focus was more on their interconnectedness and how each individual had a different task, but it was all part of the whole, in this context, of the big picture, which, as you said earlier, we just can't see. And so when I look at us human beings and the phrase being a spiritual being, having a human experience, we're listening to that still small voice. Some say it's the higher self. Some say it's God. Some say it's the infinite, whatever term you wish to use. It's the same. And from my perspective, my observation, it's the same thing. We're listening to, and by the way, if you're going to listen, follow. If you're not going to follow, don't listen. I mean, what's the point?
Yeah, really.
It's like going to school. If you're not going to do the work to learn, to educate yourself, then don't bother.
So exactly. You
get information and I get information from that still small voice. It's not the same information, but it's all working together for the big picture, which we can't really see. We might get glimpses of it from time to time. But we can't really see it. And so then you take a look at that and you go, okay, well, now where does destiny and choice come into play? If I have chosen to follow the voice and the promptings, then in a manner of speaking, I have now given up my choice. I've chosen to give up choice, to follow this voice, to do what I'm guided to do. And I don't want to get off into a lot of psychiatric stuff here.
Because it can make you crazy thinking about this stuff.
Well, not only that, but in terms of the voices one is listening to.
Yeah, there you go.
So I would like for you to dive into this aspect of it in terms of destiny versus choice and the still small voice, that intuition, that gut feeling that is guiding us. I don't know what you call it or where you think it's coming from, but I'd like for you to expound from your perspective on this.
My gut is never wrong, okay? My gut is that voice. My gut is always right, whether it is telling me something on a career level, a professional level, a personal level, a romantic relationship level. The times in my life when I have not listened to my gut, and you can call it intuition if you want, I've suffered. When I do listen to it, and I still, you know, still ignore it sometimes, like the dummy that I am, things have gone well. Now, my feeling is, I like, and this is just my personal belief, I mean, I have never felt that we come from total eternal nothingness, are born, live once, and die, and that's it. I've never believed that. I've never felt that made common sense. I've always felt like this is an ongoing process, the soul's evolution, whatever the heck you want to call it. That's me personally. And I know there's a lot of religions and spiritual teachings that suggest that. And so if that being the case, to me, that gut voice is the higher part of me that kind of is saying, hey, whoa, 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 honey, you know, you don't want to go down that road again. Nudge, nudge, pushing me in a little bit of a different direction. It could also, and this is the scientific brain in me because I'm the daughter of a scientist, it could also be the part of the brain that processes information that we aren't always cognizant of because it's not survival-based, but it's still being processed and tells us, hey, you know, you may not be aware of this, but if you do this, you're going to be really hurt. I'm torn between those two, and yet at the same time, I often wonder if they're not really one and the same, that there is some higher part of us that has access to a field of information. I call it the grid.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's, you know, many, many grid-like levels of reality that are all interconnected, and there's information out there, past, present, and future is embedded in this field or this grid of information. And there's a part of us that has access to that information that maybe our conscious, normal, waking state brain doesn't have or ignores or just doesn't have time to pay attention to. So when I get those intuitions or those gut sensations, I know that I'm accessing or about to access information that is not ordinarily, you know, red flagged by my brain. It might even be filtered out completely if I don't pay any attention to it.
I don't know
what the exact statistic is, but our brains take in a very small percentage of the available information. And by that, I mean stimulus of any kind coming at us. What we do is we take in and we process and we perceive what we need to know to survive, to make sense of our reality. There's an awful lot of information coming at us, though, that may not be survival-based, and yet it may be very important to our happiness, our fulfillment, you know, having joyful relationships, and we just sort of filter it out. So that's kind of my perspective on it. I think we all have access to that field of information, and we have access to it whether when we're dreaming and, you know, when we are meditating or any kind of altered state of consciousness, people who run, who go into that zone, and when you're in the shower and all of a sudden you get the most brilliant idea for a movie, and, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's just, it's constantly coming at us, and we're the ones that are shutting it down or ignoring it.
I remember hearing a statistic that each individual on the planet, if you will, has, I'm going to throw out, 100 million dollar ideas a day.
Oh, can I have some?
The key is following yeah. through on those ideas.
There you go.
That's the key.
See? Yeah. And I probably get them all the time and think, oh, I can't possibly do that. Again, those are my choices mm-hmm. to doubt and limit myself.
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely. To me, it's really fascinating. And I mean, and you've delved into these subjects you're unbelievably prolific. As a writer in terms of these different books. I was when I was reading through the list of books that you've written, the Deja Vu Enigma was so intriguing. And then you have the Trinity Secrets, the Power of Three and the Code of Creation, which takes me back to interviews that I did years ago with people like Greg Braden and the God Code.
I've interviewed
the author of the Bible Code. And uh-huh. and sometimes I wonder if these kinds of things aren't just manufactured. They're making this stuff up because they want to have something to believe in, and they make the math work or they make the calculations fit just so. Because
I think our brains do that all the time. Absolutely. I think if you look for a pattern, you're going to find it.
Yeah. It's kind of like every time I worked for 15 years for a Christian radio station. And of course, at that period in time, the devil was at the forefront of everything that was wrong. And I thought, and I'd heard this phrase that, you know, if you look for the devil, you'll find him everywhere. You know, if that's what you're looking for, then that's what you're going to find. So why don't you just stop looking for the devil and just look for God? because then you'll find God everywhere. But then, of course, that brought another scenario to mind, too. And that was going back to my comments earlier in the program about God being omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He created everything. Well, he also created the devil. Ergo, he set this whole scenario up. And this goes back to the whole issue of predestination. He knows what's going to happen. He knows all of this stuff. So what is the point? And again, it sucks the life. It literally sucks the life out of life and living. It really does. But
maybe we shouldn't even ask these questions. Huh?
Well, you know, that's funny. I also used to say, even working there, that if I am labeled, and I certainly was more than once, I'm sure, by individuals, they never said it to my face. But if I was ever labeled a heretic, I would wear the H proudly.
Oh, I think so. Absolutely.
Because I have no interest in just towing the party line, as the phrase would go. I love the phrase, it is better to begin in doubt and end in certainty than to begin in certainty and end in doubt.
End in doubt.
Someone said to me that, because at 17, I started my search. And I shared this with someone. I was working for the station at the time, maybe 23, 24. And they said, oh, well, no, once you find Jesus, your search is over. I said, no, once I find Jesus, it's just begun.
Right, exactly.
In more ways than one. The destiny versus choice, the scientific and spiritual evidence behind the fate and free will is available at her website, and her being Marie Jones, mariedjones.com. And it is available now, and you can check it out, as well as all of her other works. I'm sure that if someone was interested in looking at a screenplay that you'd written or other things, articles you've written and collaborated with not only your partner but also your son, and just put together some incredible an incredible library. You don't need to collect anybody else's books. You created your own library right there.
Oh, I could have my own library like the president's.
Absolutely,
too, right?
Yes. M.D. Jones Memorial Library.
Ooh, I love it.
But we don't want to refer to it as a memorial library just yet.
Yes, exactly. Let's take that word out.
That's interesting, too, in the sense that we go through our lives day to day. And we want, I think there's something innate in us that wants to believe that we really do have choice. An analogy that I came up with back at that station, because again, a lot of stuff that I was being told just didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. I said, imagine that there's this individual walking through a meadow, and they're carrying a meadow, beg your pardon. And they're carrying in their hands that are cupped together, the substance, if you will, of their individual will. And they are muttering, I just want to do God's will. I just want to do God's will. And then they toss it up into the air.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, God, anthropomorphizing here,
exactly.
Catches their will. Yeah. Catches their will in his hands and is moved to tears that one of his creation wants to do his will. Now, while he's emoting here, he is compressing that individual's will down into the size of a baseball and hurls it back at the individual like a 97-mile-an-hour Nolan Ryan fastball, hitting them squarely in the head, and says to them, then do something with the life I gave you. You are not a puppet on a string being manipulated by forces you do not understand.
I love it.
Do you think that's really true?
I love it.
Do you think it's true?
I like that kind of a God, that good sense of humor. I just feel like with everything that I learned researching the book, and you know, there's so many things that I know we didn't have time to get into, but just all the stuff that you and I have talked about, it always comes back down to your personal experience with life. Now, for me, I have experienced the sense of destiny. And I've experienced choice. And I have always managed to find a way that they work together. And when they don't, again, those are the times when I feel like life stopped or suffered or deviated into another direction that didn't feel right to me. So I think, you know, in that scenario you just presented, God is saying, I gave you this life. you know, and I gave you gifts and talents and things you're good at, and go for it. Mm-hmm. You know, go big or go home.
I like that.
And if your talent is to be a radio show host, go for it. If your talent is to be a cat tamer, which I could use right now since my cat is meowing like crazy, you know, and if your talent is just to live a good life, whatever it is that makes you feel like you are expressing who you are,
mm-hmm.
I cannot see how that's a bad thing. Okay, I cannot see how any religion that truly is about love could ever suppress individual expression, you know, as long as you're not hurting anybody
mm-hmm.
else. And really, I think if you're expressing the parts of you that make you feel good and happy, you're not going to be hurting other people.
Well, and also,
but I like that analogy, the baseball to the head, you know?
Well, the continuation of that analogy puts a little bit of the kibosh on the Day of Judgment, because if all of that being said on the Day of Judgment, and I've said this to people too, especially believers,
right.
I said, if in fact there is a Day of Judgment, I am more than willing to stand before the infinite, the Creator, and I will say, look, you gave me this life, I take full responsibility. However, you created me, so it's on you.
Oh, that just gets you out of everything.
You know, it's like if you created
oh
me
God.
Under this set of rules and conditions,
I was
destined to lose, so it's on you. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I couldn't have
I
couldn't win. There was no way for me to win if I didn't follow a set of rules. I did the best I could with what you gave me.
Right.
And if
he
it doesn't
the game.
And if it doesn't if it doesn't measure up, it wasn't going to anyway.
Yeah, and who are you to judge me? Oh, wait a minute, you're God.
That's right.
I think religion is, I think that somewhere in there is a seed of what could be good.
Yes.
Just the rules and the way that it's been just so adulterated with dogma. It just makes people miserable.
So,
and I think if you know, your religion should be being the best you that you can be
mm-hmm.
and giving that out into the world. I think that would be the best religion of all.
Couldn't agree more. Let me ask you, because I don't have the copyright dates of all of these writings that you've put together, but you've been writing obviously for a very long time. And I'm curious, because these subjects obviously come up and they're reoccurring. As a matter of fact, I remember when I was interviewing Greg Braden, he's very prolific.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And someone
yeah.
came up to him during one of the seminars and says, you know, I like the stuff that you're doing, but could you focus on one subject, you know, because it's like you're all over the board with each of these books here. And and when he shared that, my first thought was that this person had missed it, because when I read his books, and I've interviewed him over the last 15 to 18 years,
right.
I find nothing but continuity, even though it's a different subject matter of a sort.
Exactly.
It's all connected.
Exactly.
And I find the same thing with your work. So my question goes back to, how has this process and these concepts, how has this changed you from both the beginning to now, but also in terms of your evolution through the process?
Expansion, I would say. I have that same problem, I guess, where, you know, I don't just write about one thing. I write about what excites and interests me mm-hmm. that I then want to go share with other people. That's how I determine, or if Larry and I are writing a book together, that's how we determine what we're going to write. What are we so excited about learning about and researching and sharing? But it all has a common theme, and that common theme is trying to learn more about who we are as human beings and what the human experience is all about, and how can we experience even more? And also, an ongoing belief that I've always had since childhood that this is not the only reality there is. And I've always wanted to know, what is the mind of God? Whatever that might be. I don't believe in, you know, the human God. But how does everything work? What is it? What's it all about, Alfie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so even now in the fiction that I'm doing, that same theme is there. I want to know what it means to be human, why we're here, why some of us struggle more than, you know, just all of those questions. They're universal questions. And whether I'm writing about ghosts or mythology or destiny or a super volcano that changed our genetic makeup, it's all the same thing. I want to know what's going on, what's it all about, and how we can experience even more of it. Because I feel like so many people that I know feel very limited and constricted, and they're not fully expressing themselves. And I think that's why we have such high rates of depression, suicide, anxiety, cancers, and autoimmune diseases. I think so much of that comes from our underlying unhappiness with who we are.
I could not agree with you more on that. It's really unfortunate because we have so much potential. It's disturbing to me to hear about the deaths by whatever means, of the hundreds of thousands of people, in some cases on a daily, if not weekly basis, that didn't have to. And then what a loss. What a loss of contribution that they could have provided, whether it be going back to your comment about maybe your purpose is just to raise a family and that's sufficient, or maybe it is to be king of Siam or whatever. You know, now that's gone. And yet at the same time, this kind of goes back to that paradox of, but how do we know that wasn't supposed to be? I mean, we'll drive ourselves crazy if we keep going back and forth on that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for me personally, again, and I always say that because I know that people can relate to personal experiences of other human beings, because I'm human.
Yeah.
But I think that, again, it comes down to, you know, take a look at your life. Have you always felt a pull towards something? It could be a place, a person, an opportunity, a career, a calling, what have you. When you ignored that pull, how did you feel? When you've moved towards it, how did you feel? And I think if people say, well, how can I find my destiny? It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, what do you naturally feel pulled towards that makes you feel excited about being alive?
Yeah, human magnetism is what we're talking about.
There you go.
Before I let
the law of attraction, baby.
That's it. Let me ask you, before we wrap up the program, I have three questions for you, in addition to all of the others. And the first would be, who is Marie Jones?
Oh, are you really going to ask me that? She is an ongoing expression. There you go.
Okay.
I like that answer.
All right. What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
Oh, I want to open people's minds and expand them and make them look at their lives in a completely different way.
Hmm. And who inspires you?
Oh, my son, who is the bravest, most courageous little human being I've ever known, and just anybody that's out there living their dreams and helping other people realize that they can live their own, no matter how big or small the dream might be. Those are the people that I just love. They just make me glow.
Well, Marie, I want to thank you for taking so much time out of your day to share with us, and we look forward to having you back again in the near future to talk further about this, because obviously, as I said before, because of all of the books that you have written, it takes months to fill all of the time to cover them all, exactly.
I would love to come back anytime.
All right. Thank you again. And again, your website is mariedjones.com. where people can check out your works and even purchase them and so forth. In terms of screenplays and things of that nature, is that do you have information there as well?
I do. I try to keep it updated. I am the most forgetful person when it comes to things like blogging, but I do try to keep it updated with everything that's going on. And there's a lot going on. So
oh, yeah.
Sometimes I lose my mind.
And I know that you also deal in the paranormal. It's an area we haven't really delved into much on this radio show over the last 7 or 8 years. But I know that it's something that's coming up because it's becoming more and more mainstream.
I don't watch
so much the sci-fi channel sensationalized versions.
No, me neither.
I like the
science behind
yeah,
it.
I like to take a look at that, and we can talk more about that and its influences on us and our civilization as well. So look forward to having you back again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.